We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Yeah, you heard it right. It's a very special Christmas episode of Settling the Score here on Wildcat 91.9. New Music Now. I'm your host, Colin Settle. Unfortunately, not joined by my regular co-host, Nate Gray. He is, I don't know if he's AWOL. I don't know where he is. I texted him. I think he's up in Kansas City back home for the holiday. Christmas is coming up. I love the season. And someone else who I know loves the season, who's joining me on the show today from the Bosco's Boys, Scott Wildcat. Scott, can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. Absolutely love the intro music, and I'm here for it.
Dude, this one, like, you talk about, like, Christmas music and Christmas songs, and then you throw, like, SNL and everything that I don't even know, like, from the past that they've been able to put together. I think that skit, if we're specifically just talking SNL, is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Christmas SNL skit.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm not a massive SNL guy, but I do love that clip. I think I saw you post it. I watched it through, loved it. So maybe I'll convert. I'll watch all the SNL Christmas episodes, and I'll get a Twitter top 10 before the big day.
I think that one's pretty good. And then if I had to recommend another, I think the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood skit's really funny with Eddie Murphy as well.
That'll be the first one I watch. I'll watch the halftime of the Cavs McNeese game tonight.
Yeah, and that, you know what? You're already talking about it. So, and this one's just for you. I played it for the Alley Cats last week, who also had some choice words about you, sir. When I had them on in the studio, just talking a lot of trash on each other, I figured it would be at least fair to have you come on and defend your name a little bit.
Well, first off, I love the Alley Cats. They are newbies to the scene. They're great at what they do, but they have a lot of trash takes, usually not associated with K-State, just literally everything else. So they're plucky. I'm not going to bury them because it's, you know, 'tis the season for giving, so I'm going to give them a second life. But the next time they cross me, it's not going to be a joke when I cancel them on Twitter.
Shots fired. Absolutely shots fired. And that, speaking of shots getting fired, let's talk about some Cats basketball. Is my clip won't play. I was going to play the Pete the Cat song, and it's not, oh, dang it. It's not one to go. That's unfortunate. Well, let's get into it. We're playing McNeese. I sent out a tweet earlier that said Marquette, dumb idiot that I am.
I wish we could have that one back.
I wish we could have it back. But, oh, well, you learn from your mistakes, and we move on. You overcome, and you adapt. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's get into the McNeese thoughts right now. K-State is favored 94% on ESPN. Spread minus 19.5, and the over-under is 139. Initial thoughts here going into this game, Scott, just looking at how the Cats have been playing recently.
Yeah, so I think some folks are a little demoralized with that Nebraska game. I'm not. You beat an old rival by 9 points. You were underdogs coming into the game. So just win, cross that off, 18 and we're in. And this game is going to be no different. Would love to put up a big number. Would love to shoot better. But honestly, I don't care about style points this year. I want to get back in the tournament. I think tonight should be easy. Would like to see some highlights. But at the end of the day, this is a game right after finals. Historically, you've seen this been a game for K-State, no matter who the coach is. Going back to Frank Martin, this game usually is a little rougher than it should be. So I'm not going to spaz out. It's going to be a win. But if it's 19 or 9 or 2, I'm just going to enjoy another dub.
I agree. And then we look at, You know, and I, you know, you brought up an interesting point with finals week too, and that's something that I think is important to hit on, because, you know, it was stressful for me. I know for a lot of my roommates and other people, friends I was with, it's a stressful time, and you're having to work through that as well as playing games and then being a college athlete on top of it with practice and then games and everything. It's a lot, and it's a lot that I don't think a majority of people will ever be able to understand. So, I mean, do you think that giving the guys a little bit of leeway would be a good idea, or are you just going to, like, hound on them no matter what happens tonight?
So I've been coming into this season where I'm not going to hound on them. I think at the end of the season, the results are going to dictate the future of the K-State basketball program, whether players are going to transfer out, whether we're going to have a new coach or any of that. So I'm not going to dog on them. I'm going to enjoy it. But I'm also not telling folks what to do. If people want to be burn it down, if people want to be a sunshine pumper, whatever stereotypes you want to use. I'm not going to tell people what to do. I think that we all are so entrenched in what we think about the basketball program right now. There's no use in trying to fight and argue. At least that's my point of view.
Because that stuff's going to come out anyways. Like, people are going to, like, say all these nasty things, and they're going to, you know, call for Bruce's head and talk trash on, you know, whatever player they want to. So why hold it back, right, if it's going to happen no matter what?
Yeah, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm perfect. I've been frustrated with guys during different games. I've said stuff on my show. I've said stuff on Twitter. But at the end of the day, especially for this one, you know, they were doing stuff with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. They had finals. It's been a busy week. I know some folks, if they find this clip, they're going to say, oh, just Scott making excuses if they don't blow them out. But, you know, you have to look at things as they're really happening in the real world.
Yeah, there's so much more that goes on. You know, the whole, like, student-athlete thing, I've always been a proponent of, like, the phrase that, like, you're a student first and then, you know, student-athlete, right? So, yeah, I completely agree. But if we want to talk specifically about those student-athletes, Nigel Pack is still leading the team in points per game with 14.5, followed by Marquise Noel, 12-3 after that, and then Mark Smith and Ish Massoud, I've heard it both ways. I assume it's Massoud.
I say Massoud.
I heard Massoud more often than not, but I've heard Massoud as well, but we'll go Massoud. And did you, and this is something that I asked the Alley Cats guys when they came on last week, did you expect these three transfer players coming in, Marquise Noel, Mark Smith, and Ish Massoud, to be playing, like, above kind of the rest of the team right now coming in initially? Or what were your thoughts on these guys coming in?
I thought Mark Smith and Ish were going to be the real deal. No question about it. I thought they were going to be two of the top four scorers, two of the top three rebounders, two of the top 4 minutes got. Where I've been surprised is the small king, Marquise Noel himself. He has, you know, every game except for this most recent one, blown my expectations out of the water. So he's almost become a product of his own overachieving of my expectations when I was a little frustrated with his game last week. And I think that says a lot about the baller mentality that he has. You know, he's out there. I'm taller than him, but I probably triple what he does. So, but see this guy out there, find a inch of space, get to the rim, shooting those crazy threes. Outside of the Nebraska game, the threes are going in, so you can't really get mad at him. So I'm surprised with him, but I did expect it out of Mark Smith and Ish.
Is it a size thing for Marquise Noel for you that kind of held you back compared to the other two?
No. I think it was the level of basketball he was playing at. And I also thought he was going to be the backup to Nigel Pack. Granted, Pack's been hurt, so that's how we got some of those starter minutes. But I also was expecting a little bit more from either Selton or Mike that had Marquise coming off the bench. Now he's not coming off the bench, and I think tonight we're going to see him start with Nigel again. So I think it's time for everyone to kind of re-examine what they thought this kid was going to be.
Do Do you like the idea of having both Nigel and Marquise on the floor at the same time? Like, your two, like, quote-unquote best shooters on the team. Do you like having them on the floor at the same time, or would you rather rotate them? Just like a basketball theory kind of question for you there.
Yeah, so in an ideal world, Shelton or Mike, or Shelton and Mike, would be playing so good that you have to have one of them on the floor. With how this season's been going, with Shelton being hot and cold, and that's still not kind of seeing the best of Mike McGurl this year, I think you have to start them. If you don't start them, I just think you're limiting yourself, and Bruce can't be doing that.
Yeah, Shelton was a guy that I was, like, super hyped for coming into the season. I feel like, you know, you get all that drama over the last, like, year or so, or the past two seasons, and I feel like he kind of, I don't want to say fell under the radar in my mind, but, like, compared to the other, like, louder personalities on the team, I feel like he's a bit quieter than some of the guys. Granted, a lot of those louder personalities are gone, which I think is why this team is having more success now. But Shelton was a guy that I was super hyped for. He went and played, like, in Angola. He got to play against, you know, Luka Doncic in the Olympic trial, like, qualifier stuff. Like, he was balling out with guys overseas that, like, do this for a living, right? So, I mean, I was super hyped for him, and he's averaging 7.9 points per game. He's getting 5.1 rebounds per game. He's playing 24 minutes. So, I mean, he's getting time, but I agree. He's just kind of hot and cold at the moment, and I just fear that he's not going to have that consistency, and he's just going to fall short, especially as we get into, like, not necessarily the very start of Big 12 play, because that's coming up very shortly, but, like, if he doesn't turn it on by at least halfway point through the Big 12, that's going to worry me about his game going forward. I don't know about you.
So I'll say this. My points on him were kind of, like, his offensive game. I still think he's our best defender. And I think he's had great games defensively. And he was dealing with a knee injury. He's just now getting back to about 9,500% health. So I don't want kind of my thought or what I said about him to dismiss how good he's been on defense. But he does have that ability to hit jump shots. I think he's our best, you know, at the rim finisher. So I think you can still see more from him, and I think we will. I think there'll be a game where he goes off for, you know, 20 points, and he's the reason why we win, like at Oklahoma or at home versus Iowa State. I think he has that in his game. But game in, game out, I want him defending whoever the best offensive player on the other team.
One thing that, you know, was worrisome last season, especially last season, was turnovers. And I'm trying to pull up the stat real quick just so I can get all of my thoughts in order. Do you think that they've been better in the turnover department so far this season? Is it an issue in your mind right now? And, you know, what are they going to have to do to fix it if you do think it's an issue?
I was a little frustrated with turnovers for that Nebraska game. There's been a couple times where it has been very frustrating. But for the most part, if you look at games, maybe there's a half where it's really bad, but they figure it out. Or for some of these bad teams, McNeese is going to be one of them. We do take care of the ball. I think that's just kind of a byproduct of some of the way that these guys play, the block charge in college basketball, some of these different rules. I think you see a lot more turnovers nowadays than you used to.
Our turnover margin currently is tied for 104th nationally at 2.0.
Hey, better than 120th.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as long as we're not last, that's where I'm trying to be, right? So we have McNeese, and then is it Morgan State?
Morgan State.
Yes, after that, and then we start Big 12 play. So two games left in out-of-conference play. I want to talk about the women's basketball team as well. Yeah.
In January, but yeah.
Yeah. I want to wrap up with the men's. Just thoughts, you know, in these last few games out-of-conference before we get into Big 12 play. You know what? It's a very competitive conference. I think it's one of the – you look at, like, baseball last season – where the Big 12 was one of the most competitive baseball conferences in the nation, and I think the same could be said for basketball in the Big 12 as well. So what is it going to take for this team, obviously, to hopefully not finish in the bottom half of the Big 12, but hopefully have success going forward?
This is without a doubt the best basketball league. If you look at net, if you look at KenPom, it's not even close. So I think this is going to be a seven-bid league, and that's even with Oklahoma State banned from the postseason. So I don't even think it takes being five or better to get to the tournament. But if you want to get there, you have to be consistent on offense. You cannot have nights where you're shooting 21% from three. You can't have nights where you're shooting 30% from the floor. And you're probably going to have to do a little bit better job getting to the free throw line. I think the defense is beyond what I thought they were going to be this year. So I'm okay with where that is. But at the end of the night, you're not going to be able to have shooting evenings where you're abominable like you were for long periods of time versus Nebraska and beat TCU down in Fort Worth or beat this Iowa State team in the Octagon. You're going to have to just get more consistent shooting.
One thing I do want to point out about tonight's game against McNeese, before we start looking towards the women's team, because that's definitely something I want to hit on real quick, I think key player to watch in my mind right now is Miles Lewis for McNeese. I didn't know if you had anybody else in mind. He's a senior, 6'5", 190 pounds. He's averaging 10.7 points per game, leading the Cowboys. He also leads in he's playing the most out of anybody, and then he is third on the team in rebounds right now. So if you want to look for a player to watch, I think it's going to be Miles Lewis, number five. He's the forward, as I said, 6'5", senior. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about this matchup tonight, thoughts, predictions, before we start talking about the women's team?
No, I think if you made me do a prediction, I would say Cats 69, McNeese 50.
Nice. That's all I got to say about that. Let's talk about the women's team right now as we're getting into that now. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in here on Wildcat 91.9. I'm your host, Colin Settle, joined by one of the two hosts. Look at us. We don't have either one of our co-hosts, and we're just coming in here and just having a good time talking some Catskeball. Scott Wildcat from the Boscos Boys. And a very Christmas-heavy – would you say you're a very Christmas-heavy guy?
I mean, I'm a heavy guy, but no, I love Christmas. I do Christmas cards. I watch Christmas movies. I got a customized stocking for my dog, Chauncey Bosco. So I love Christmas.
You beat me to the question. I was going to ask about the little pup you got. How old is Chauncey?
So he's 7 months now. He's 53 pounds. He's currently running around my basement. I'm trying to keep him away from squeaky toys, but he's a big guy.
Because I remember when you put it out on Twitter at Scott Wildcat. I'm also on Twitter at Colin_Settle. I remember seeing pictures and stuff like that. Right when you got your little pup. But yeah, it's the first Christmas for the two of you then.
Yes, it's first Christmas. Like I said, I got him his custom stocking. Got him all sorts of Christmas toys from BarkBox. He had his Christmas tree advent calendar. So I went full dog dad.
I love it. That is adorable. I love everything about it. I also love everything about what the women's basketball team is doing right now, led, of course, by Ayoka Lee. And, you know, I think it was your show that I was listening to, the Nebraska recap show. And it might have been you. It might have been an offhand comment from Grant or somebody else that I heard that said something about Ayoka's number being up in the rafters. And I would like to agree with that statement, and I want to promote it more than anything, right? Was that you guys? I can't remember where I heard that.
Yeah, so that was me. I was talking about the Oregon game. And just to give everyone credit, they have some real deal players to go along with Ayoka Lee. So it's not just her, but she is, you know, an all-time great at a program that has some very illustrious players. Lots of All-Americans, you know, during the Deb Patterson era before – I'm not going to say what I was going to say. but we had some great teams. We had some even better players, and Ayoka Lee deserves to be right up there amongst the all-time greats.
So looking at her right now, she's averaging 23.8 points per game. Jeez. 11.1 rebounds, and she's shooting 57% from field goal range. You look at the Oregon game where she had 19 points, 12 rebounds. South Dakota State, 38 points, 14 rebounds. Just these last few games have been incredible, right? Looking from Omaha, you look at the South Carolina game. Granted, the number one team in the nation, you still have 14 points and 6 rebounds. But then after that, Omaha 19-8, and then like I said, 38-14, 19-12. I don't know. Between her and some of this new talent that we're seeing from some freshmen, and then I don't know. I'm just so impressed by this team. Not to say that I wasn't going to be going into this season, but the level of play that we're seeing from players that I didn't necessarily expect to see coming in is kind of blowing me away right now. I don't know if you feel the same way.
No, I do, and I think it has to be credit to Jeff Mitty because he's not immune to having folks transfer out. He had some good players leave. He had a disappointing season last year. You got to call a spade, especially when you have Ayoka Lee. I think it's fair to say they've underachieved, but they are at a level that we haven't seen in the Mitty area. I think they're top 10 in the net. The AP poll and coaches poll are outdated. You know, they're stupid, but the net has them in the top 10. I think there's no reason to believe they aren't going to be in the top 3 or 4 in the Big 12, which again, best conference that is even close in women's basketball. And it's just fun to watch. They move the ball. They hit shots. I wasn't able to get there for the Oregon game, but I watched it on TV. It was a great atmosphere. Very soon, they're hosting Baylor, which is on the conference. And I know it's during Christmas break, but anyone who's around, get into the Octagon, cheer on this team. They're deserving of it because they're going to be playing in March. So get in there, be an early adapter, cheer on these ladies. And you're going to see an all-time great. I mean, if you look at women's sports between soccer, volleyball, and women's basketball, you have three all-time greats, maybe arguably the three best K-State athletes for this year were on those three teams. Ayoka Lee is probably the best one. So get in there, see her, so you can say, hey, I saw one of the all-time greats live 10 times and saw her take him to the NCAA tournament.
I love that mindset to say, like, I got to see her play, right? Because, like, everyone has that athlete, like, when you're growing up, right? Like, for me, because I assume, like, you have that one guy that, like, you know, that one athlete that really kind of pushed you towards, like, sports, right? Like, because, like, for me, I know it was, like, Jordy Nelson, right? That's the reason I'm a Packers fan. That's why I love K-State football. As I just got really excited seeing who just walked into the studio. We got a very special guest that'll be joining us here very shortly. But I don't know, did you have somebody like that, Scott, where it was like, you know, that guy or that athlete that kind of propelled you toward just enjoying sports in general?
Well, I remember, if you want to keep it on women's basketball, I was all about Kendra Wecker. I absolutely loved watching her play. I went to games in Bramlage when I was a kid. I watched them whenever they're on TV. So Kendra Wecker was one of those. I remember just being all about Josh Scobie. So if you want a football one, and then Lamar Chapman as well. So those were probably my first, like, all-time favorite players.
Lamar Chapman, what a throwback. That I don't think that's a name I've heard.
Colin,
I
turned
forever.
30 in 7 days, so you just got to keep that in mind.
Well, I turned 22 last month, so I love that, and I think it's about time. I'll bring him on. I was gonna wait for it, but I'll do it now, real quick, just so he can get his 2 cents in. Ladies and gentlemen, returning. I don't even know like what your official title is anymore. It's Paxton Gordon. Paxton.
It's
favorite athlete that like got you to where you are right now.
Oh man, you know, actually had to think about this just recently because it came up, but it really was Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking just, yeah, I know, so sad, but if you're thinking like in totality, it of course is Demaryius Thomas, but if we're just sticking it straight to K-State, you know, I'm going to be kind of a sucker and be like, I'll go for Colin Klein, you know.
Yeah, man,
you know, he's what, you know, my grandpa took me over here.
You guys are so young.
I know, I just turned 22 in, January, so, like, you're probably sitting here being like, my gosh, you know, I'm going back to the archives.
I was in school with Colin Klein. I had class with Arthur Brown, Ty Zimmerman, like, all those guys. I'm running around on campus with them. Colin Klein came to my house, like, the summer before the 2012 football season, and you guys are saying, "Oh, that's the guy who made me fall in love with K-State football."
Scott,
I never felt older.
I idolize Colin Klein. That 2012 team was like the team that made me fall in love with football.
Yeah, I think probably off air, I'll tell you some stories about that season and being on campus.
Oh, I'd love to hear.
I'm not going to tell them all on air, or maybe another time.
I'd love to hear it.
I have some good stories.
Before we get into, you know, the Christmas talk that I was wanting to wrap up my segment with you with, Scott, Serena Sundell's playing well. I think the one player for me, I didn't have super high expectations for Emily Ebert and what she was going to be doing, and I think she's playing decently right now. Of course, she had that buzzer beater towards the end of the first half or whatever the quarter was against Oregon. That was great, 15 points in that game. But, yeah, because she was the one that also came to the Big 12 Media Days as well. I got to talk to her and Aoka, so that was a lot of fun. But you look at players like that, Jada Moore, Serena Sundell, as I already mentioned, Rebecca Dallinger. You know, you look at the talent on this team, and like you said, it's not all Aoka Lee because you have other – members of this team that are producing, right? Same question that I asked about the men's team. What's it going to take to get this women's team over the hump to be able to finish top? They're going to make the tournament. What's it going to take to get that deep playoff push?
Yeah, I think while I did say there are other folks besides Aoka Lee, if she is going to play at her best, K-State is going to be at their best. So if you're going to pencil her in for 20-10 every game, the key is just going to be someone else supporting her. I'm not going to look at any of these players and say, hey, I need 15-8 every single game from you. But you need one of these folks or one of them to show up every single game, be the running mate. And then I don't think there's anyone in the Big 12 that's going to run them out of the gym. And depending on what sort of night you catch Baylor or Texas at, who knows what might happen. Again, you know, Baylor's coming to the gym here, I think, first week in January. If you're able to get in there, you might see something special.
Okay. Now that we – I'll leave it at that. I don't want – because I think all of your words are too important to not, you know, just wipe away. So I'm going to leave it at that because I think you said it perfectly. I don't want to impede on what you just said. Getting into the Christmas spirit – the computer's having issues. Paxton, you might have to come take a look. I tried to play the Pete the Cat clip earlier. Didn't necessarily work. Cartwall is failing us. Let's talk about some Christmas movies, right? First things first, what I want to ask you, Scott, are you like a Hallmark guy? Before we get into like the good stuff, right? Are you a Hallmark Christmas movie guy?
So that's a loaded question for more reasons than one. I'm not going to totally get into it. I don't have cable, so I don't have access to them day in, day out. But what I'm going to say is folks want to make fun of Hallmark Christmas movies, but they are the gold standard for made-for-TV Christmas movies. They make you feel good. They have Christmas decor, snow everywhere. They have it down perfectly. So if folks want to make fun of them, that's fine. Do you. But they do Christmas movies made for TV perfectly.
I did forget. I do have to do one thing very shortly. I forgot about it. I have to do it real quick. We're going to continue this conversation. And now that I think we have all the clips working, We'll talk about some Christmas movies here in about 30 seconds. We're back. Just had to do that real quick. I hope all the clips work. Let's talk about some Christmas movies. I have clips from 6 Christmas movies, and I'll put finger quotes around Christmas movies for that real quick. I know the game is starting soon. We'll jump into it. Not that we have to rank these, but I'm curious to hear, you know, your thoughts, Scott, and then your thoughts as well, Paxton, on where we're thinking on, you know, the tier list of Christmas movies. And I'll start with one that is a little out of my age range, and I think it's a little out of Paxton's as well. It's a movie that I've seen, and I assume you've seen it. Scott, I know that you love this movie. I just hope the clip works.
Joy to the world.
So I think we're kicking it off with a good one, right? Christmas Vacation. What are we thinking there?
That's the number one. That's the gold standard. I came home yesterday from a work happy hour, made myself a gin and tonic, and watched it. I love every second of it. It is the single greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Paxton?
You know, I can't put it number one. I got a special place in my heart for a movie, which I hope is on this list. But
I pulled some popular ones. I hope I pulled whatever you're thinking of.
This is a El Clasico. If you, growing up, and your parents do not show you this movie, they need to be thrown in jail. Straight up. No question. Not even, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Book them,
yeah.
Ship them away for life.
As I said, it's probably a little bit out of, like, because I remember watching it when I was younger, right? Like, my parents would put it, like, it's a great Christmas movie. I think you have to put it up there as one of the greats, if not the greatest, right, in some people's minds. But, like, I definitely remember watching it when I was younger. Don't really remember a whole lot, right? Because, you know, you don't really get some of it, right? You don't get the jokes and stuff like that. But, you know, I would agree. So as of right now, we'll put it at number one because it's the only one that we've heard so far. Let me play I'll play the next one. Well, you know what? Scott, I'll let you pick. I got a number 1 through 5. What are we feeling here?
3.
He says 3. Here we go. The Polar Express, I think, will always have, like, a very special place in my heart. I know I got, like, a Christmas ornament of the Polar Express when I was younger. I got, like, the replica little bell that he gets in the movie, right? Spoilers, oh well, sorry. But, you know, I like the Polar Express. I would, it's one of my favorites for sure. It's not my personal favorite, but I think the Polar Express is a great Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's one of my must-watch movies every year. I was actually getting in fights with some folks on Twitter because I backed, you know, this movie over a certain other one that may or may not show up, so I'm not going to bring it up. But I ride with that movie.
Paxton?
Wow, you bring back childhood memories, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it does, right?
You know, it just brings back the good old days. You just sit back in your pajamas. I still do it now. It's not like I don't.
Like you don't
Christmas.
Sit back
like,
in your pajamas.
Come on. But it's just, you know, you wake up on that Christmas morning and you're like, it's a great movie to just continue on the spirit. Oh, yes, The Polar Express.
And then you have to talk about the Tom Hanks performance then as well, right?
Masterclass.
He did 3 of the different characters. Okay, the rumor is that he voiced the boy. Did he voice the boy or not?
I believe that he did the boy voice as
you
well.
You believe.
I know,
I got that. Because he voices the conductor, he voices Santa, he voices the guy on top of the train, and then I've heard the rumor that he voices the boy as well, and they just, like, did this weird modulation thing with his voice. But I don't know if that's true. I didn't know if you guys had any solid evidence on that.
No evidence, but Tom Hanks is elite, and Polar Express is, like, just outside my personal top 5, I think.
I would agree. I would have to personally put it in my top 5 just because that's what I grew up with. But, yeah, I do love the Polar Express. Paxton, 1, 2, 4, 5. What are we feeling?
Feeling five.
All right. I'll preface it by saying this is my personal favorite Christmas movie.
You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it.
It's a Wonderful Life is probably, it's my favorite Christmas movie, my personal favorite Christmas movie. Don't know if anyone else has any, we talk about how young we are when I pick a movie from like, I don't even know what it came, like the 40s, 50s, 60s.
And End of the World Confessions, as someone who loves Christmas, never seen it.
No, I knew you were going to say it, dang it. Oh.
I know, it's been on my list the last couple years, but then... Before you know it, you know, my line of work, which will remain a secret on air, I get super busy during this time. And then every year it's like, oh, you know, there's 5 days to Christmas. I have all my elite ones I have to fit in. Still haven't gotten time to watch it for the first time.
It's unfortunate. You know what? I will personally, we'll find a day. I will make a trip up to Kansas City so that we can watch it together. I promise you that, because that's how much I love this movie.
It'll probably have to be next year.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we'll make it happen.
Okay, perfect.
Paxton?
Ship it and send it. I have never watched it either, so I can't give a grade on that one. I know. I'm so sorry.
It's such a good movie, guys.
You know, I can only go back so far in my old-timer type of movies, and then I watch like True Grit the next night, so it's like I can't even make a complaint. I don't watch movies that old.
I'll compromise because I know a lot of people, and this is one that I didn't pull a clip from because I've never seen it. I've never seen A Miracle on 34th Street.
Neither have I.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll just throw that out there, right? All right, Scott, we're looking at 1, 2, or 4.
We'll go 1.
Oh, okay. All right. Now this one's the controversial one, and I know that it's gonna bring up conversation, but here it is.
Oops. No bullets. Stupid, Hans.
Die Hard. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie, yes or no? Answer like right now, yes or no? No.
Yes.
Yes.
It is a resounding yes.
It is a Christmas movie, and you can't convince me otherwise. Like, people, what's the argument? What's the argument here for the people that don't think it's a Christmas movie?
Okay, time out. Because I actually would have said no, because I watched it for the first time last week. It is
what?
Christmas movie, yes.
Hey, at least he's seen it. At least he's seen it.
Yes, for the first 3 minutes, it's like, okay, very Christmas forward. Then you go vast periods of time, nothing Christmas related. But then the final 30 seconds is like, yes, it is a Christmas movie.
So, like, that's the whole the argument against it is, like, it just has, like, Christmas elements, but it's not, like, an actual...
But it goes, like, long periods of time without any of the Christmas elements. Because here's the thing. If it was, like, all the way through, more Christmas decorations in the office, another ho-ho-ho here or there, there would be no doubt. But it would go 15, 20 minutes in between saying anything that would let you know it's Christmas inside this universe.
John McClane's, like... holding on to like some tinsel from like the elevator shaft, like something like that.
If it was like instead of like a wife beater, if it was an ugly Christmas sweater the entire time, there'd be like no
with
doubt.
The sleeves. He like rips off the sleeves of like an ugly Christmas. Oh, dude, that would have been so good. That would have been so good. I love everything about that. Paxton, please. You said it is a Christmas movie.
This is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. It's my number one. Nobody can ever convince me it's not a Christmas movie. You know, there's the argument of. A Christmas movie has to be Christmas thematically themed, where you gotta, blah blah blah.
You gotta be Santa, and
you got the Christmas tree and everything. A smart viewer would know that you don't always have to shove Christmas in my face to know. Would you look at that? It's Christmas time. It's snowing. There's a tree up with lights on. Wow! Would you look at that? It's Christmas. Yes, you know, it's an action movie. They don't focus on it, but like, come on, man. It falls in. I'm like the NFL. I move the goalpost. So it falls into the generic Christmas movie thematics. So that's where I put it.
All right. We're talking about this. This is Sports Talk. I just want to remind everyone here on Wildcat 91.9. New Music Now. I'm your host, Colin Settles, is settling the score, joined by the host of the Bosco's Boys, Scott McFarland. And then as well, Scott Wildcat on Twitter, I'll say that. And then Paxton Gordon, former sports director, now off doing his own thing. The Cats play in 18 minutes I got two more clips that I want to play. We're talking about Christmas movies, and we're ranking them, seeing what we think. Paxton, two or four?
I went with five, so we got to go two.
I'm about to get in trouble.
I was going to say the same thing, too. Isn't this a canceled?
It's like the best scene of the whole movie, though.
I wasn't gonna say anything funny. Like, yes, that's the best scene, but it's a bad Christmas movie. I could go rest of my life without seeing Elf. Chris Kleiman has made two big mistakes this year. The first time he misworded some stuff, and it came out like he was asking the media for help being positive. The second time was saying Elf was his favorite Christmas movie.
Okay, here's my... Okay. It doesn't have to be your favorite Christmas movie, but if you go up to anyone, I feel like it's the most quotable Christmas movie and just the most memorable for a lot of people, though.
Yeah, that's because you young people like were too far removed from anything good.
Are you just not a big Will Ferrell guy in general, or do you just not like the movie?
Fine, the movie just isn't good. Zooey Deschanel, super hot. Like, it should be a better movie. The concept is good. It just isn't a good movie.
I will say, I did not realize that was like Zooey Deschanel until like I was watching like New Girl. Have you guys watched New Girl?
Yeah,
love New Girl, right?
Oh yeah, I'm all about New Girl.
Oh, I love everything about New Girl. Like Nick Miller is my spirit animal, and you can quote that till the end of time, right? But did not realize that was her, because she looks so different in the movie that came. I don't even know when Elf came out. It was like at least. And the weird thing about it too is Will Ferrell was like 6 or 7 years older than she was in that movie. Just thought that was kind of an odd little thing in there. Anyways, Ed, thoughts on Elf, Paxton?
It's a cultural icon, you know, us young whippersnappers over here. We do, you know, we get a thing for, you know, Will Ferrell comes on, you know, we're happy. But I do agree, as it has aged on, not up there as high as I thought it would be previously. Still, though, a good one. I'd show it to my kids.
I would agree. I think it's a staple, though, right? Like, you think about Christmas movies, and it's going to come up in the conversation, though.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing.
Question, because I got an argument with no less than 25 people today about it. Polar Express or Elf?
Oh, Polar Express.
Polar Express, hands down.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
Okay, you guys are good and smell great. Like, I was dealing with a lot of smelly people on Twitter.
All right, I got one more clip. I know the cats are playing soon. Scott, I've kept you longer than I thought I was going to. One last Christmas movie. This is one that I really enjoy. I know it's very similar to Elf, I think, where people either really hate it or they really love it. And here's the clip.
Well, I don't know, Scott. You're as healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Clydesdale.
Okay, look, so what? You put on a little weight.
A little weight? Does this look like a little weight to you?
Weight can fluctuate from year to year. Fluctuate.
Santa Claus, Tim Allen, what are our thoughts?
Number two movie of all time, yeah. Like for Christmas. Absolutely love it. It is the perfect like Santa Claus origin story, or Santa Claus is a actual character in a movie type movie. It cannot be improved upon. Santa Claus 2, also in my top five. Santa Claus 3, no.
So what's the third ones, man? The third ones
was
still
it
worse.
Was it the second one that had Jack Frost?
No, that's the third one.
Is that
one.
The third one? Okay. I couldn't remember which one had Jack Frost. Yeah, I knew that one wasn't the best out of the three.
Yeah, that one isn't great, but love Santa Claus 1. That's my number 2.
Paxton?
Yo, man, it's up there. You know, can I put it at 2? It's got to top the Polar Express, and if I had a chance to tie it, I would. But it falls in my number 3, but it is still a classic. I don't care how many people are trying to cancel it because it's fat shaming and all that stuff. It's a great movie, man. Tim Allen, man, he was the bomb back in the day, and he was just a perfect fit for this role. I thought it was so funny, and I'm so happy.
Are you guys on TikTok at all? Either one of you?
Yes.
No.
So, Grandpa, get out of here, Scott. So I'm, you know, scrolling through, I see that Tim Allen has a TikTok, and I go to look at his account, and he put out a video the other day where he just has this massive white beard, and he's playing into the bit, and he's like, I don't know, guys, just something about this time of year. Just start growing a beard. I don't know what to do about it. And I melted just a little bit. I thought it was great. I loved everything about it. But yeah, this movie, I feel like it's because of the third movie that people like discredit this like whole franchise, right? Where it's either like you love it or you hate it, because you have to have all, like, I feel like you don't have to have all of them to make it complete, but at the same time, it's like it's part of the trilogy, so like, it's like you look at the Spider-Man movies, you know, at least the Tobey Maguire ones,
right? These newer ones are definitely much better. So what are we?
How dare you? How dare you slander the name of Tobey Maguire? Get out of here.
I ain't slandering him. It's like The Matrix. Like, the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, great. The first Matrix, awesome.
The second Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire is one of the greatest superhero movies ever made, and you can't convince me otherwise.
I have another great story that I can't tell on air about Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire. So
have we seen the new movie? I'm curious. Has everyone seen the new movie here?
Yes.
No.
Oh, we can't talk about it.
Big boy job. I have a dog to take care of. I'm sorry.
Take your dog. There's some theater somewhere.
I can't tell. Is that Paxton jingling his keys, or is that Chauncey running around in the back? It is Paxton jingling the keys. All right, whatever. I won't say anything. I do think it's great. I love the newest one, No Way Home. I think it's something that everyone should go see. But if we're so the consensus that I'm getting here, Scott is a big oldies, you know, Christmas Vacation, Tim Allen Santa Claus guy. He doesn't like the new stuff, the elf stuff, you know.
Hey, for all the guys listening out there, rent Love Actually. Get some hot chocolate.
Dude, I love Love Actually.
Yes, there you
Cuddle
go.
Cuddle up with a girl next to a Christmas tree. Yes. You'll be making out by the end.
Scott, you're making me feel sad and lonely on in this time of year. I need you to leave me alone.
Hey, dude, look, I'm as single as can be. I haven't had a serious girlfriend since 2015. But you get on Bumble, you get on Hinge.
Yeah, there you go. Over,
Christmas movie and chill. It's undefeated.
Scott, is that what you want to leave with here, or do you have any other 2 cents you want to put in before I let you go?
This is what I'll just say. In 2021, it's coming to an end. I've been on 30 different radio shows, podcasts, and interviewed for one magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Settling the score.
GQ, right? It was GQ?
Is my favorite.
You
number
interviewed? Yes.
One.
Yes.
Get it, baby.
Without
get it, baby.
A doubt,
yes.
Get it, baby.
K-State Student Radio is the best. My biggest regret in college was that I wasn't involved. Colin, being able to come on with you and bring you onto my show has been one of the highlights of my 2020, 2021. I'm so proud of you for graduating.
Yes.
You'll be successful in everything you do. And anyone who's listening, join Student Radio. Do a sports show, bring me on during Christmas time, and I'll tell you how to make out with a girl watching a Christmas movie and any other Christmas takes. I love you guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Scott McFarlane. That's where we'll leave it off.
Pipe
All right.
Bomb.
I love it. That's
Pipe
where.
Bomb.
That's where. Pipe bomb. Get out of here.
I'm sorry.
I think you love to see it.
Who
getting everything set?
Come on, who doesn't love to hear that part? I got a tear. I shed a tear. That's like an Oscar worthy acceptance speech.
I'm gonna clip that and I'm gonna keep it forever.
Clip it and ship it, baby.
That was
clip it
incredible.
And ship it.
All right, Paxton's in the studio. It's just us. We'll talk some Cats football up next. Here's the clips are having some issues again as Paxton is.
I don't know. I think we were talking about Tim Allen.
All right, it will work.
It was Tim Allen, and I just kept thinking about the Shaggy Dog, and then my mind wandered into the like 1984 Shaggy Dog, where it's just a dude in a dog costume, and he's just running around. And he like quick, get that dog! And he just punches a guy.
I knew exactly what you were talking about.
My mind went there for a whole 4 minutes during that conversation, and I just couldn't get it out.
Oh my gosh! Well,
heavens.
We're having a great time, And I hope that everyone else is having a great time listening here on Wildcat 91.9. I'm your host, Colin Sedlis, the sports talk, where we just talked about Christmas movies for the last 15 minutes.
Sports, baby.
Sports, baby. All right, I'm Colin Settle, joined by Paxton Gordon. Paxton, what is your official, like, title now? You're out in Marysville.
Officially the sports director slash salesperson slash, you know, a plethora of other...
Extraordinaire,
yeah. Basically, of KNDY Radio in Marysville. So I did a high school basketball game yesterday in Nebraska. So, you know, I'm all over the state of Kansas doing, all the fedangles with all the sports.
You love to see it. Because you did all that here, and now you're...
I know. I'm often about doing sports, and it's like, well, who couldn't ask for a better gig than waking up in the morning, do coaches' interviews, and then go later that day and go do some basketball.
We'll have to put a plaque in the studio here for you with your name on it. Yeah.
Hopefully it's not the trash can.
Always is. Speaking of football, here's head coach Chris Klieman talking about Skylar Thompson and whether or not he's going to be ready for the bowl game.
He's trending in the right direction, Kellis. He's practiced. We hope he doesn't have any setbacks. And if he doesn't, then in all likelihood, he'll play. And we're excited about that. And we still have a couple weeks away. So I don't want to, you know, in case we have a setback or anything. But right now, he's trending in the right direction.
And that's what you like to hear, right? Because then this is it. This is the last Skylar Thompson game we're going
to
see.
It's crazy to think I graduated before this guy, and he was here before I even came to K-State.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to get out there right in front. Hey, can that Adrian Martinez guy, you know, recover from that shoulder injury quicker so he could play? Because, like, I'm so pumped. But the fact that we're hearing that he's going to be okay, barring any setback, which always, you know, is a hinge of, I don't know about that one, Chief. But barring any setback, I'm so pumped for this LSU game where he got nobody who's leaving for draft preparation. Nobody's skipping this bowl game. Even though there's plenty of people that could possibly do so. Everyone wants to play this bowl. LSU is looking the weakest it's ever been. They lose their quarterback to the transfer portal. Ed Orgeron is probably out with his girlfriend somewhere in, you know, Baton Rouge right now. LSU's looking weak. We come in and are going to beat the previous national former
2 years ago,
thingy-ma-boober with not Joe Burrow. But if we're able to beat them in a bowl, that's not the Liberty Bowl, blessed be the Lord. Hey, man, this 8th-ranked K-State recruiting class might get a little extra boost in the coming years of interest of, hey, yo, this team might be something good because, hey, that Adrian Martinez guy is just around the corner. Don't you forget that.
I really hope that he's good. And this is something, and I will shout out Scott one more time. I don't know if he's still listening. I hope he is because he had a lot of good stuff to say about Adrian Martinez on his show that came out, I think it was like Sunday or Monday, one of the last 2 days. And that's that maybe he won't be able to go till maybe halfway through spring ball, which could be an issue. I'm hesitant. I know that he's had success at Nebraska, and I know that, like, he holds, you know, whatever records.
He holds that, right.
He's like the Brooklyn Ents of K-State soccer for, like, Nebraska football right now. So, you know, it's nice to have a guy like that. And granted, we kind of already have a guy like that in Skyler, where it's just like longevity, you know, awards like the Drew Brees awards, right? Where it's like the passing yards, and granted, not that Skyler has, you know, the passing yards record, right? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and I get
like
what you mean.
All the longevity records and stuff like that, right? So, I mean, it'll be interesting. Not sure how I feel about like a plug and play type guy where it's just like for a year. I think he can be really dangerous with Deuce. That's what I'm most excited for.
I'm so excited for the RPO,
dude.
Oh,
for sure.
Oh, my God.
And then if Malik can figure out whatever his issues are.
I don't even blame most of the issues at wide receiver really this year on any of the wide receivers because it's just like what the Denver Broncos have. You have a crappy offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They ain't going to get you the ball no matter how great your talent is. And, yes, you know, Sebastian, we didn't see much of him. What was up with that? It was a weird plug-and-play where we saw Keenan Garber in and then some RJ Garcia, but no real solidified three, and then Tyron Howell transfers. So it's like, ooh, what's going on here, Chief? But I think you get a offensive coordinator. I keep pushing for Joe Brady. I know he's probably going to Miami at this point. Sad. RIP.
Sad,
but if we just get somebody who has some bit of creativity. You know, and
Colin Klein.
I don't really want us to hone in on this one bowl game and be like, all right, Colin, you screw this up, you're screwed, you ain't getting this job.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't have much of the information on behind the scenes stuff, if really how big of the issues at coordinator were mostly Messingham's calls, or was that Colin Klein's discussions with him as the assistant offensive coordinator?
Sure.
But if we're able to bring somebody in that recognizes that Adrian Martinez can run the ball like a Will Howard, and at the same time has Deuce Vaughn, this RPO play action that we're about to see potentially from this team is pretty unstoppable, because we got all threats of the field. You know, Daniel Mortababy, I don't know if he's coming back. I didn't see anything.
I haven't seen anything about his.
But if we kept with, like, you know, if we find another plug and play tight end, there's your check down. And Deuce Vaughn's a check down. You got over the top with Malik and Sebastian and Keenan Garber, depending on how well Sebastian's, I don't know if it was, again, an injury thing that was so radio silent, but there were so many threats to this team. I find it hard to believe that Adrian Martinez, who did wonders at a Nebraska school that was coached by Scott Frost forever, you know, everyone could be a little bit tentative. I'm not. I'm full go. I'm full ready. You know, when he announced his commitment here and he transferred, I was like, all right, the Jake Rubley hype train can take a break for 1 year. We're jumping on that Adrian Martinez hype train right now.
I like him. He's like 6'2", 6'3". He weighs decent. He runs like a 4.6, 4.40.
I think he runs faster than statistically time. He's one of those guys who are faster in game action than on a stopwatch-esque.
Sure. No, I agree. I'm excited. Like I said, the whole plug and play. You know, I'd rather have one quarterback than two quarterbacks. You know,
you, Mr. Jake Waters fan over there, and then me, of course, with Alex Delton. I remember those. It's like PTSD flashbacks for all of us. But he's gonna be solidified, and then the real question comes on. Okay, what did Will Howard learn in that one extra year? Is Jake Rubley the guy? Who knows? But in terms of bowl game prep, I think it's a full big W. I don't know how well LSU's going to react, because I don't think Brian Kelly's – he's not coaching that, is he? I don't think so.
I'd be surprised, like, if they get him ready in time, maybe.
So that team looks like on the down with losing their quarterback and all the other issues. They look like they are down, but LSU not going to beat K-State. K-State with Skylar Thompson and the way this team has been playing offensively in the run game and defensively, I think – sky's the limit in this bowl game, and that only helps not only the prestige, but the recruiting, and you beat LSU, which I don't think we haven't done ever. I don't know if this is our first time playing LSU or not.
I'll do some checking. I got one more show next week. It's the last live show that I have. Very sad. I'm done after we get done here. But thank you for tuning in here to Wildcat 919. I'm your host, Colin Settle, joined shortly by Paxton Gordon. We went a little bit longer with that segment than I thought we were going to, but I'm glad I got to see your face. It's good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you, dude.
It's good to see you, buddy. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. I'll see you next week.